Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Joining us now is Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Tennessee Titans. TD, some of your biggest takeaways from championship weekend. We had a great game. We had a total dud of a game. Your thoughts on the AFC and NFC championships?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jalen Hurts could sit back and play that Kumo D song, How You Like Me Now. Because, you know, around this time, a lot of people last year didn't feel like he was a quarterback, and they were saying the Eagles needed to trade the draft picks in to move up and get one of these guys. But look what happened. So that's my biggest takeaway.
You just blew me away. I just had a flashback, 1988. I had the Kumo D cassette of the How You Like Me Now. Well, I forget, what was the album called? I don't remember, but that was – so our younger listeners may not know How You Like Me Now, but you were talking to me, Teron. I was there. I was flashing back to Winter Park High School back in the day.
That's it, man.
Dude, we haven't that is the music. We haven't heard much on the Titans offensive coordinator search. Why is that?
I think you're going to really see that ramp up this week, you know, at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. Starts tomorrow. But that's the time where you see guys start to, you know, land jobs and you know, interviews can happen there. You just, you know, you're in the mix and you're talking to people. So I could see that coming to fruition within the next week or so. As for why, I'm not sure, man. It seems like they're just kind of slow walking it. And this is basically what they did when they hired Todd Downing. They went through and they interviewed some guys. You know, remember Pep Hamilton was someone they put in a request for Tim Kelly, who obviously is now the favorite. So I think that's going to happen within a week or so.
Now, TD, I enjoy each year right around this time when you start to put together your sort of your big board on specific players. And a lot of times, you know, you put together that wide receiver group. Is there one guy at the Senior Bowl that you're particularly looking at? I know you tweeted about, I forget the school the guy was at, but you tweeted about a receiver that should be on the Titans board.
Yeah, there's a few down there. You know, I'm already imagining myself there. I won't be there, but yeah, there's a few. I mean, you look at Jonathan Mingo. I think, you know, he's a day three guy that could come in and help out of Ole Miss. I like him. You know, there's a guy by the name of Dontavian Wicks who is from Virginia, and Jordan Reed, the ESPN's draft analyst, he had put me on to him, and he was like, hey, you know, he didn't really do much this year, but go back and watch his 2021 tape, and it is impressive. So, you know, those are a couple guys. I mean, there's a lot down there. Zay Flowers will be in Vegas at the Shrine, and A.T. Perry, those are guys to look at. But there's a lot, man. You know, you want the smaller dynamo type of guys. You have those. You have the bigger receivers. It's going to be pretty cool just, you know, watching those practices and things. I'm about to tap into the Shrine Bowl practices. Got access to that film, so I'm about to watch that when we get off.
Now, do you believe that this, and we've talked about this before, TD, that this offseason for Rand Carthon is going to be important as far as him evaluating and making sure he overturns every stone, especially this being his first draft with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, it's critical. You want to get off to an early start. I mean, this is a team that you look, I mean, it's not, what, over a year ago, you know, they were coming off being the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, they could make some moves and patch this roster up and be competitive quickly, but it's just a matter of, like you said, hitting that ground running and you know, making the right decisions, you know, draft-wise and free agent-wise. There's a lot that he's going to have to juggle, so it is important that he gets off to a great start.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, we just got the news today about the bump in the salary cap. It's going up pretty significantly. It's an all-time high. There was a little bit of a drag while the pandemic was going on. What effect do you see the most, first for the Titans?
Well, I think that makes a big deal for Jeffrey Simmons, a lot more palatable. That's something. And then it could also affect some of these veterans, right? We talked about Bud Dupree last week and just how, you know, he is a possible guy that obviously not at that number now, but, you know, you could redo it. It makes it easier. I think it's a better situation. Obviously for the budding stars, you know, your Jeffrey Simmons and those guys, but also for the veterans, you know, who are possible cap casualties, whether it's Robert Woods or Bud Dupree. I think regardless, the Taylor Lewan situation is what it is. That's probably going to be a parting of ways, but I think it makes it better. It's better for the veterans.
And do you think maybe, if that's the case for all the teams, right, maybe they're able to keep one or two guys, two or three guys that otherwise would hit the market? Like, I'm wondering about how that part of it might work, that you can keep your players a little bit easier rather than lose them.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's really what it's about, being able to keep your Austin Hoopers, you know, a guy who you may not sign. You know, right now, obviously, Nate Davis, David Long Jr., they're the priorities, and they'll, you know, work to get those guys done. But the Austin Hoopers, you know, those are guys that I think you can be able to retain a little bit easier now that that money's out there. But it's not just you, the Titans, having money. All teams are going to have money, so there will be other teams that could pay, you know, and make it happen, you know, if you have a guy that is drawing interest on the open market.
Yep, it's going to be fun to see that. Take me back. I mean, you're talking about the Senior Bowl here, but with Jalen Hurts going to the Super Bowl, as we talked about, you know, he was a guy that did not go in the first round. So I'm just, what did you see that, because I can remember at the time, you were pretty high on him when not everybody was, and we're all sort of in this mode of where do you get the successor to Ryan Tannehill someday, whether that's this year, next year, but it will be pretty soon, right? And it always helps if you can find the guy without burning or having to give up a bunch of resources to move up in the draft to get him.
Right, absolutely. The Eagles just basically kind of like stumbled into Jalen Hurts, to be honest with you. He was there and they took him. I didn't really understand the selection at the time because it felt like Carson Wentz was cemented as, you know, the guy the next 5 years or so. And I was disappointed that the Eagles, you know, picked him because I just didn't want to see him in Philly in that situation. But it worked out. And for me, what I really saw from him, you go back to his first year at Alabama and each year afterward, and then when he got to Oklahoma, all you saw was constant improvement as a passer. Initially, I remember watching him like, man, this guy, no, it's not going to work, you know. But he ended up at Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley, and he became a more advanced passer. And obviously there were some things that had to be tweaked, but he just got better and better. And then going down to Mobile, then being at the Senior Bowl, and then also at the Combine, and then having him on the show and just having a 15-minute conversation with him, like, man, this guy, he has that it. Like, he could tell me to run through a building. I'm going to run through it with him. You know what I mean? He had that type of leadership to him, and it felt like he was, in my opinion, in that draft, the most ready guy to go in front of 10 other men and tell them to do something, and they would do it.
It's also, and you watch the Eagles closely, their turnover from the last time they won the Super Bowl to now is pretty significant. I don't know how many guys are on the team that were on both, but I see a lot of different guys, and obviously it's a brand-new coaching staff. But they didn't have to go through a, quote, full rebuild where they just blew it up and started over, right? They just retooled, changed coaches, but here they are again.
Yeah, I mean, you look, Brandon Graham, BT, he's awesome. I hope he wins Walter Payton Man of the Year, him or Derrick Henry. But, you know, he was there. You have Fletcher Cox, offensive line-wise, Kelce, Isaac Seumalo, and Lane Johnson. But you're right. I mean, they, for the most part, were able to reload on the fly. And that's a testament to Howie Roseman. And Joe Douglas, when he was there, he had a big to do with that also. And they just, they're never afraid to make the big deal. And that's the thing I think that really stands out. If there's a move and it's going to make the team better, they're going to go through it. Look at the A.J. Brown deal. Look at them bringing in Hassan Reddick. I mean, this guy came back home to the Philadelphia area, 17 and a half sacks, you know, two last night. You saw what he did. And then you look at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They went out and grabbed him. The Saints had him floating out there. They got him, and he tied for the league in interceptions. And then you look at other signings, smaller ones, right? And Dominican Sue, Linville Joseph. They went out and got these guys just to continue to supplement the roster. And I think that's what you have to do. You realize you have an opportunity. You got to stronghold that opportunity and take advantage of it. And, you know, with Jalen Hurts on the rookie deal, they're able to go out and pay a $25 million a year to A.J. Brown, you know, and make those moves.
Tron Davenport is with us. TD, what do you think was the biggest difference looking at these four teams and even more specifically the Eagles and the Chiefs, the teams headed to the Super Bowl? What do you think is the biggest difference that sets those teams apart from the rest of the league?
Well, I think, you know, outside of the Chiefs, those four teams, right, and Rand Carthon mentioned it about playing Golden State Warriors football in October and November, but you better be able to run the football. And I mean, the Chiefs, they're not a running team. They don't have a rushing offense, but they got that guy, Patrick Mahomes, as Michael Irvin said, God playing quarterback. It makes up for not being able to run the football that well. So I think really the difference is that, and then the defense, man, that Eagles defense, that 49ers defense, even the Bengals defense. You know, the Chiefs are coming along, but that's another thing. Those defenses are really, really good. So I think that's what put them in there.
Tron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. We appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
For sure. All right. Appreciate you all. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, TD. Coming up next, there was one thing that I noticed that I think maybe wasn't the biggest difference, but it absolutely made a difference in the playoffs and what we've seen throughout the regular season, and more of our takeaways from the weekend of playoff football. I don't know why I just had a total brain fart there.
We all do it.
Playoff football. That's what I was
just
trying to find.
Just wait till you get a little older, Caroline. Wow. It's going to start happening a little bit more.
Okay. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.